Meeting will come to order. First of all, our apologies. Neither Senator Langseth or I had anything to do with booking this room for us, and certainly for staff who have no table to work at. So my understanding is we're working at it, and they were thinking we were going to be assigned this room for the duration, and I think we're rebelling a little bit and saying we're looking for something with a little more elbow room. And so for today, we're going forward. By way of explanation about who's at the table, Speaker Kelleher invited our Vice Chair, Bev Scalzi, to join us, not as a voting member, but as someone sort of in training for the future, and I think they had alerted you to that. She's not here right now, but will perhaps be with us. And then we had been asked by the governor's office to invite Tom Hansen to the first meeting to speak to us on behalf of the governor. This, of course, was very spur of the moment, and he was unable to join us today. And so perhaps the Senate may be willing to invite him for our second meeting. Our process is that the gavel changes hands for each meeting, and the next meeting will be Senate to call. So those are just overall by way of introduction comments. And we have two of our staff, because all the conference committees are meeting, we are understaffed with fiscal staff. And my understanding is the Senate fiscal staff is not available, but Corinne Zewers is here, as is Deb Dyson. And I think we'll just ask them to walk us through, and if we have Senate staff joining, or if you're pitching.
Peter's with coming, too.
Okay. So do we want to start with the language or numbers? Do you have a preference?
Madam Chair, it's entirely up to you, and how would you like us to proceed?
Why don't we work off the spreadsheet, and what would be helpful, of course, is as we talk it through somewhat informally, to just note differences, and we do the same with the language.
Madam Chair, members, the spreadsheet should have been in your folders, and what I'll do is I'll just start at the top and work through and note the changes as the chairs noted. In terms of the University of Minnesota, as you can see, both of the bills have appropriated the same amount for both the HEPR and the biomedical research facility. For the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, both the House and the Senate have the same amount for HEPR, as well as for the land acquisition for Bemidji State. There is a difference with the asset preservation for Hennepin Tech. The House allocates $720,000 for that. And then on line 15, the land acquisition for Fond du Lac, both the House and the Senate bills are the same. Moving on to the Department of Education, there is a difference. The House allocates $300,000 for Native Prairie Wetland in the Anoka Hennepin Independent School District, as well as the House appropriates $25 million more than the Senate for the Red Lake School District. Moving on to the Department of Natural Resources, both the House and the Senate allocate $200,000 for the flood control phase 3 in the city of Stillwater. Both of those are general fund appropriations. On line 32 of the spreadsheet, the Senate allocates $350,000 for the Lake Zumbro restoration, whereas the House does not. The House, on line 33, with a Canastillo mine outflow project, the House allocates $2.5 million, and the Senate does not allocate any resources for that project. On line 34, the Springbrook Nature Center, the House allocates $2 million, and the Senate does not allocate anything for that project.
Madam Chair,
just breaking in there. My understanding is we're feeding in where it doesn't occur in the same place, or when it's in a Senate one-time bill. Ms. Dyson.
Madam Chair, in the Senate bill, they appropriate money to that project, but through the Metropolitan Council. And in the side-by-side description, both of those are on R22.
There's a difference in money there.
You have 2.5.
2.5 compared to 2.
Okay.
Moving on to the Big Bog State Recreation Area, the House allocates $1 million, and the Senate does not allocate money for that. The Fort Snelling Upper Bluff both allocate $500,000. The Red River Basin Digital Elevation Model both allocate $600,000. With the Greenleaf Lake State Park, the Senate authorizes $700,000 in spending, and the House does not. With the flood hazard mitigation in the city of Roseau and Browns Valley, the House allocates $2,093,000. And with that, the Senate also allocates some additional resources for Browns Valley, but through public safety. Instead, and I'll touch on that later on the amount. With the Cuyuna Country State Recreation Area, both authorize $125,000, and with the Gateway Trail, both authorize $650,000. On line 42, the Loose Line, the House allocates $209,000, and the Senate does not authorize funding for that. And that is the same with the Browns Creek Nature Preserve. The House authorizes $250,000 general fund, and the Senate does not authorize funds for that project. Moving on to the Pollution Control Agency, both the House and the Senate authorize $2.5 million for remedial systems in Albert Lea. With the Water and Soil Resources Board and the Lake Titlow Watershed, the House authorizes $165,000, and the Senate authorizes a total of $365,000, and this includes some resources that are allocated in Senate File 2190, which is the one-time bill, that it's a total of $200,000 is allocated from Senate File 2190. And the last, the RIM Reserve, the House authorizes $8 million, and the Senate authorizes $10 million for that project. With the Minnesota Zoo Inflow Infiltration Abatement, the House authorizes $26,000 additional dollars than the Senate. With the Department of Administration, both the House and the Senate authorized $12.7 million for the Department of Transportation exterior. Both also authorize.
We note that is Trunk Highway Fund.
Yes, and there that's Trunk Highway. The property acquisition by the Administration Department both authorize $2.325 million of general fund spending for that. The House authorizes $200,000 of general funds for the Veterans Memorial in Eden Prairie, and the Senate does not authorize funds for that project. With non-commercial television, the House authorizes $9.75 million. The Senate authorizes $11 million, and that appropriation is all in Senate File 2190. On line 82, the MPR conversion to digital, the House authorizes $3 million in general funds, and the Senate authorizes $2.5 million. The difference there is $500,000, and the Senate's appropriation comes in from Senate File 2190. Moving on to the Department of Public Safety, the Anoka County Forensic Crime Lab Both the House and the Senate authorized $2.5 million in general funds. With these, with lines 92 through 95, the Senate authorized funding and the House did not. With the Gonvick Public Safety Training Center, the Senate authorized $50,000. For the Scott County Public Safety Training Center, the Senate authorized $2.5 million. With Southeastern Minnesota Regional Public Safety Training Center, the Senate authorized $2.5 million as well. And then, as mentioned above, I mentioned earlier the House's appropriation for the Browns Valley flood relief, and this is where the Senate's appropriation comes in at $2 million. For the Department of Transportation, the high-speed rail line between St. Paul and Chicago, the difference here is the source of funding. The House authorizes general obligation bonds, and the Senate authorizes general fund spending. With the North Shore Express, the differences are both in the source of the funds. The House uses general $500,000 of general obligation bonds. The Senate authorizes $175,000 of general fund dollars, and those dollars come from an appropriation in Senate File 2190. On line 105, the Mankato District Headquarters both authorize $20,673,000 of trunk highway fund bonds. The Rice Rail Extension, the House authorizes $250,000, and the Senate does not authorize funds for that project. For local bridges, the House authorizes $10 million in general funds, and the Senate authorizes $30 million in general obligation bonds for a difference of $20 million. Lines 108 and 109 both deal with ports. The House total appropriation is $1.5 million, and the Senate's total appropriation is $500,000.
And members, if you wonder why that strange breakdown, that's just where, because we had to come up exactly with cash and bonding, we just decided to split it there so that we had an exact total.
For the Metropolitan Council, the lines 118 and 119 deal with the St. Paul Union Depot. The House authorizes a total of $3 million, and the Senate authorizes a total of $4 million. And the Senate uses both general obligation and general fund sources for that. On line 120, the St. Paul National Great River Park. The House authorizes $3.8 million in general funds, and the House or the Senate does not authorize any funds for that project. The next few projects are transit corridors. The House authorizes $500,000 for the Southwest Transit Corridor, and the Senate does not authorize anything for that project. The Central Corridor Transitway. There is a difference between the House and the Senate of $10 million, where the House authorizes $30 million in bonds and the Senate authorizes $40 million in bonds. On line 123, the I-94 corridor transitway, the House authorizes $500,000 in general fund cash, and the Senate does not authorize funding for that project. For the Rush Line Corridor, the House also authorizes $500,000 in general obligation bonds, and the Senate does not authorize funding for that project. The same for the Red Rock Corridor, $500,000 again, and as well as the I-94 Transitway. On line 127, the Transitway Study, the Senate authorizes $250,000 in general fund cash. And this, the House does not authorize funding for that. This South St. Paul Span Arc Bridge, the Senate authorizes $600,000 in general fund cash, and the House does not authorize funding for that project. And on line 129, the Metropolitan Regional Parks Capital Improvement Projects, this is Springbrook, and this was included above and mentioned above. Next, the Department of Human Services. Both authorize $150,000 in general fund cash for the West Central Chemical Dependency Treatment Facility. And with the Department of Corrections, both authorize funding for the perimeter system and the ventilation system, both at the same amounts. Moving on to the Department of Employment and Economic Development, both authorize funding for the Duluth Convention Center. The Senate is $7 million higher than the House. With the Itasca County infrastructure, the House authorizes $20 million in general obligation bonds, and the Senate authorizes $30 million in general fund cash for a difference of $10 million. On line 154, the Lewis and Clark project, the House authorizes $5,282,000. The Senate also authorizes this, but just in a different section of the bill. With the Mayo Civic Center in Rochester, the difference between these two is that the House authorizes general obligation bonds, whereas the Senate uses general fund cash. The Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, the House authorizes $500,000 in general funds, and the Senate authorizes $100,000 for a difference of $400,000, and the Senate's appropriation is in Senate File 2190. With the Rice Street Bridge, the difference between the two files is the House uses general obligation bonds and the Senate uses general funds. Both are for $2 million. The Bayport Storm Sewers, the House does not authorize any funds for this project. The Senate authorizes $150,000 in general fund cash. The Senate also authorizes general fund cash for St. Cloud State University's National Hockey Center. And on line 168, the grants to political subdivisions, as mentioned above, this is where the Senate's Lewis and Clark project comes into play.
And here we'll just remind members, this was in a previous year's bill, but because of the way that money is going to be spent, we are canceling the bonds and using cash in this bill so that it can be accessed for the project that they intend to cooperate with other states, and there's some question about how bonding would work for them. You'll see it later on the spreadsheet, too.
As you can see with the Department of Finance, both the bond sale expenses are the same. The bond sale expenses covered both general obligation and trunk highway bonds. On the last page, page 3, lines 184 and 185 cover the cancellations that Chair Houseman just spoke about. They total $5,282,000 for both the House and the Senate. The differences between the bills, as you can see in the totals, come under the general obligation bonds. There's a difference of $14,000. There's also a difference in general fund cash. The Senate has an additional $30.9 million in general fund cash. There's a small difference in the user finance portion of the bill. I believe that's due to rounding differences. And that totals $30.9 million in differences between the two bills.
And so you see great similarity in the two bills, and probably the biggest difference is that the Senate had a larger cash target. And so though we have similarities in projects, they are sometimes for a lesser amount. Are there questions first about the numbers before we go on to the language? Any clarifying questions? If not, Ms. Dyson, do you want to?
Madam Chair.
In one particular bill we passed in here, the figure was really $137 million. $13 million was in this other bill. passed the Senate.
Yes. That was a Cohen bill, right? And so we're still, I think, negotiating or figuring out where that is going to go. But for the purposes of comparison, we fed some of those numbers in here just so that people would be aware of what numbers
were. Our target was 137,000.
Madam Chair, would you like highlights of any language differences in the writers?
Highlights of differences.
Madam Chair and members of the conference committee.
I think we could say probably for the most part the language that was in the original governor's bill is probably repeated in both bills, that there is similarity there. That would be one of the observations to make. But.
Okay. Madam Chair and members of the conference committee, starting with just highlighting over, there's actually in the drafting of the House bill, I'd like to just let you know that there are a couple of errors. The spreadsheet is correct in terms of referencing the money. The House bonding bill refers to maximum effort loan program, and that was supposed to be general fund. So if you will overlook a couple of the drafting errors, I apologize for those. The University of Minnesota and Minsky rider language is essentially the same, and except for, as noted, the addition of the to the HEPR language for the Brooklyn Park campus of the Hennepin Technical College that the House funds. But otherwise, they are substantially the same. On R7 of the side-by-side, the Red Lake School District language is fairly different, and again, this is the one that should be general fund on the House side. But the House specifies that it's for completing the high school, middle school, and then can be used for the elementary project. The Senate language has a list of the type of projects that can be pursued in all of the facilities, and it also includes the Ponema Elementary Center and a Head Start Center and playground facilities and a number of other projects. Continuing in natural resources, they are basically the same on R8. I believe the Stillwater Flood Control was in the governor's bill, and those are the same. As you can see on the House side, there's the provision for the Canisteo Mine. And then on R9, you have the Senate language for Lake Zumbro restoration. And on the House side, the Big Bog. On Greenleaf State Park, the House and the Senate took different approaches, as noted first by the dollar amount. But I also wanted to mention to the members of the conference committee that in Senate File 2096, the House bill, I believe that's in conference in the Environment Finance Committee, Conference Committee, there was an amendment adopted on the House floor that converted Greenleaf Lake State Park to a state recreation area and would repeal the state park designation. So however Greenleaf Lake State Park is handled, I believe that some discussion with the other conference committee would be needed, and whether or not this provision that's in the House Environment Finance Committee and Conference is and how that will be addressed. Fort Snelling Upper Bluff, it's basically the same, difference in capitalization. Red River Basin Digital Elevation, the language is the same. We're on page R10. The Flood Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, that was noted in the spending or in the spreadsheet discussion. The Senate takes a very different approach than the House. The House appropriated money to the Flood Hazard Mitigation Grant Program with an undesignated amount for Roseau and for Browns Valley. And the Senate has amendments to prior bonding bills to include Browns Valley in the Flood Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, and then also allows the Housing Finance Agency to use some of its resources. So there's a different approach between the House and the Senate on that matter. The State Trail Acquisition and Development. The specific projects for Cuyuna Lakes Trail and the Gateway Trail are the same. There is language that in the Senate bill that would place it in the context of the statutory program for state trails. The Pollution Control Agency, again, they're substantially the same, slight difference in wording. On R12, the Board of Water and Soil Resources, there's a slight difference in the description of what the project is, and in the Senate, the money is also to construct conservation measures on acquired land, and the House does not include that as an option for use of the money. And the House requires reports to the legislative committees with jurisdiction over environment, finance, and capital investment. The Lake Titlow watershed improvements, the language is the same. Except on R13, the House has an additional paragraph. It's lines 11.1 to 11.4 on the House side, where it's talking about criteria limitations, assessment requirements in certain provisions are not do not apply to this project. And those provisions relate to when and how a project can be initiated. It's a statutory process for petition, and we're saying that that does not apply to this. And then the assessment and levies for the projects. The Minnesota Zoo project is, I believe, one from the governor's bill, and they are the same in the House and the Senate. The transportation building, again, I believe that's from the governor's bill, and it's the same. Property acquisition, I believe that was also part of the governor's proposal, and the language is the same. And then, as noted during the spreadsheet discussion, the House has the Veterans Memorial Project in Eden Prairie. And then there's the non-commercial television and the Minnesota Public Radio provisions. The language is essentially the same. Under public safety, there's a slight difference in the description of the Anoka County project. The House talks about a regional forensic laboratory, and the Senate has a forensic crime laboratory, and then talks about which counties would be using that laboratory. It's a little more descriptive of the project and also requires a non-state match of $7.5 million. Then the Senate has the appropriation riders for the other public safety projects that were listed in the spreadsheet for Gonvick, Scott County, and Southeastern Minnesota Regional Public Safety Training Center. Again, on R16, we have the continuation of the Browns Valley flood mitigation appropriations.
And does someone recall, it seems to me since both of our bills were written, that there is now a very specific dollar amount. Is that anyone's understanding?
There's a specific dollar amount for sort of emergency aid, which is, I think it was 200 and some thousand, but that wouldn't cover a lot of other things.
Representative Carlson. Question being that we slow down at that point, there is another bill that has $2 million. Is that the same $2 million?
Marquardt was going to throw in a bill. Well, I had the one for $2 million, and he said, well, we'll just give it a minute. And if we're going to fast-track that, we were going to move. It was, what, $262,000 or something like that. The city is out of money, and they need some emergency aid. But the rest, see, the federal government doesn't come in unless it's at least $5 million damage. Their idea is that if it's less than $5 million, the states can handle it. And to be fair to a small city like that, you really have to do what the federal government would do under FEMA. And that takes at least quite a bit of that $2 million. They need some buyouts of about 19 houses and so on, which FEMA would do if it was federal. So that's kind of fluid as far as the amount. We don't really know exactly what to look at. The idea is to do what FEMA would do if it was federal.
Now, I was just curious if that was the same, if we were talking about the same dollars or not. So
well, you are.
You're saying it.
If we move fast with the other one, it'll be pared down to $200 and some thousand for that one, and then this would probably come down somewhere.
Thank you.
Proceed.
Madam Chair and members of the Conference Committee, just to follow up, you mentioned Representative Markwart's bill, and it's House File 2433 that was introduced that has the language that matches the Senate's approach on Browns Valley.
But I think the idea there was we already had the bill written up. We threw it in and said, well, we would probably amend it to that $207.
Continuing with the transportation section, at the bottom of R16 and to R17, the language is identical for the local bridge replacement and rehabilitation program and for the port development assistance program. Also for the Mankato District Headquarters, and I believe this is another one that was in the governor's bill, and the language is the same. The high-speed rail line is substantially the same description of the project. The House just says it's between St. Paul and Chicago, and the Senate describes more specifically the route. And then there's the commuter rail extension for the North Star Rail on the House side. On R19, the language is the same for the North Shore Express Intercity Rail Initiative, even though they are in different bills. For the Metropolitan Council, the Central Corridor language on R19, again, there's a slight difference in the description of the route and the terminus in downtown St. Paul, but they're otherwise substantially the same. Except that the Senate contains language on R20 that relates to relocation of district heating and district cooling in the right of facilities in the right of way. Then there's also the language for the South St. Paul Span Arch Bridge on the Senate side. And for the Union Depot, the language describing the project is the same. On R21, with the transit corridors, as described in the walkthrough of the spreadsheet, the House has riders with appropriations all for each of the specific transit corridors listed, and the Senate has a general fund appropriation for the for a study and lists all of the same ones. Under Metropolitan Regional Parks and Capital Improvements, as noted before, we're funding different projects. House is funding the National Great River Park along the Mississippi River in St. Paul, and the Senate is providing funding for Springbrook Nature Center, it looks like. It's $2.5 million for that project. Human services, the language is substantially the same, but the House has the Commissioner of Administration for the Department of Human Services doing the design work, and the Senate has it as a grant to Pope County for that project. Under corrections, those provisions are from the governor's bill and are the same between the House and the Senate. For employment and economic development, the Senate has the Bayport Storm Sewer Project, and the House does not. For the deck, the project is substantially the same. There's some slight differences in the description of the project. The House describes it as for capital improvements and renovations to the deck, and the Senate describes it as for renovations. There's also a difference in...
There's a misprint in here. We were supposed to... We had meant that to be come from the general fund, and I guess the way it's written here, it is bonds. And we do have a technical correction there. If you want to do that now or later or some other time. It simply would get it in sync with what was the intention.
And really what's also in your spreadsheet. Right. It's just that the language doesn't match here.
Yeah,
so we'll just acknowledge that as a...
Um, The other difference in the deck language has to do with the between on the House side it starts at about 19.10 and on the Senate side 18.29. There's a difference in the language describing the authority that the deck was looking for to use. I think it's the construction manager at risk type process or another process besides the standard bidding process for construction work. For the Itasca County steel plant infrastructure, the language is the same except that the Senate notes that it's in addition to the appropriation from last year. The Mayo Civic Center complex in Rochester, it's essentially the same language, the difference in the heading. The Wildlife Rehab Center, basically the same language. There's a slight difference, but not of any significance. The Rice Street Bridge, these are substantially the same. The House does not, we're on R27, the House does not have the National Hockey Center at St. Cloud State University. And again, there's the Browns Valley provision in the Senate bill that was discussed before. Under bond sale expenses, this is another point where I need to note that there will be a need to correct the House language. It should specify that $32,000 of it is from the Trunk Highway bond proceeds account. So that would be a technical correction at some point, depending on the final version of the bill. Bond sale schedule on R28, those provisions are identical. The bond sale authorizations follow from the appropriations made, again, noting that the House language relating to maximum effort shouldn't be there. And then beginning on R29, the bond sale authorization reductions, this is the Lewis and Clark project where the 2005 and the 2006 appropriations are reduced in order to convert those to general fund, which is done later in the bill. For sections 20, 21, 22, and 23 of the House bill, these are provisions that relate to the lease and management contracts when grants are made that where the granting agency would enter into a lease management agreement with a non-governmental entity to operate the programs. The House provisions are, as have been described to the House, are placeholders while there is work being done on these provisions. But to briefly describe what the House provisions do, Section 20 would allow a lessee to renew a lease or management contract beyond a term that is substantially less than useful life of the property if the lessee demonstrates that it is continuing to carry out the governmental program. Provides that if a contract is not renewed and the lessee contributed to the land and capital improvements, the lessor may agree to reimburse the lessee for its improvements by purchasing the lessee's interest. Each of the provisions in sections 20 through 23 are retroactively effective to January 1st of 2006. Section 21.
And because those discussions were ongoing, the language, the new language, isn't reflected anywhere. Is that right? My understanding is there have been conversations that have continued. But we may have that amendment, but we don't. It's not reflected.
Madam Chair, that is my understanding. I have not been a part of the discussions on that, and so I would defer to others who have.
Senator Corn.
Well, I'm sure. So the language in the House bill, is this in essence the legislation proposed by the Department of Finance?
No. That isn't reflected anywhere. The House put in something that was sort of the starting process of new alternative language to what was proposed. And after we passed our bill, those discussions continued, and my understanding is that language has now evolved to still another stage. And so we will probably just need to have an amendment to take a look at that. Maybe, I don't know, the next meeting.
Do you want description of what is in the House bill, seeing as there will be an amendment coming, or should I just move on and just say these were put in for as placeholders?
Right. I would say just move on.
The section 24 on page R32, the House is amending grants. It's the evaluation of grants to political subdivisions by the Department of Finance. In 1999, this section of statute was put in to provide a review process when political subdivisions are looking for bond funding. And what this is modifying the criteria so that it's deleting the criterion that the project will not require new or additional operating subsidies, and then instead adds an evaluation of whether the project will meet or exceed sustainable building guidelines in law. It also deletes the criterion that the project will not expand the state's role into new policy areas, and adds that the project will use sustainable building designs to the extent possible. The bottom of R32 to R41 contains provisions relating to Northwest Airlines Duluth maintenance facility, and this was the Senate version of this, I believe, is in the Senate Taxes Committee at this time. But this is a proposal that makes changes to the 1991 law that authorized financial assistance for Northwest Airlines. And part of that was financing for an aircraft heavy maintenance facility at the Duluth Airport. In 2005, August, Northwest Airlines declared bankruptcy, and the mechanics went on strike, and the Duluth facility has not been used since that time. So the changes in the bill are the ones that were proposed by the Department of Finance and the Attorney General's office to facilitate reuse of the Duluth facility. The revisor's instruction and the repealer are also relating to these changes. The Senate bill, for your information, is Senate File 962. And I'm sorry, it's not in the Tax Committee. It's in the Finance Committee. On R43, the House amends the 2005 Greenleaf Lake State Park bonding appropriation. And as I mentioned earlier, the House has a different approach to this in the Environment Finance Committee that's in another conference committee.
Representative Erdahl added an amendment on the floor. Did that in fact go on?
Yes.
The floor amendment.
Section on R43 to R44, the House is amending the Department of Human Services appropriation from 2005 relating to system-wide redevelopment, reuse, and demolition, and in particular the Agua Ching Regional Treatment Center appropriation, and it's just extending the length of time that the appropriation will be available by a year. As mentioned earlier, on R45, you have the House and the Senate language relating to the Lewis and Clark appropriation being converted from bonding to general fund from the 2005 bonding bill. On R46, there's a provision here that's from the 2005 bonding bill for the planetarium as part of the Minneapolis Downtown Library. This provision has a contingent effective date, and this relates to a bill, House File 1973 and Senate File 1812. If those are enacted, then this would take effect. And this is, again, sort of a placeholder because it's amending the bonding appropriation so that the money would go to Hennepin County instead of Minneapolis. I am unfamiliar with the R47, the Ford Building provision.
The Ford Building language in the House that extends that is in Representative Kahn's state government finance, they have a similar provision that they extend the date by which it should not be demolished.
On R-47, at the bottom, to R-48, both the House and the Senate amend the McPhail Music Center 2006 appropriation, and it's the same, and that's from the governor's bill. And then on R-49, you have on the Senate side, again, this is part of the Browns Valley and Roseau flood hazard mitigation changes that have been described before. And then the Senate has a provision relating to the Two Harbors project on R-50. On R-51, water control structures on the House side, it's amending a 2006 appropriation to allow the money to also be used for public water reserves. On and then regional trails, the Senate has a provision amending a 2006 appropriation for regional trails, and leave that for the Senate to describe if you want.
Madam Chair, that's just to allow the use of state money to match state money, which normally is not permitted.
Yeah, the money on the one side, it comes from fees and snowmobiles and ATVs. So it's not state general fund money or anything like that. It comes from the people.
Unlike other taxes.
And on R-52, the Senate has another amendment to a 2006 appropriation for the North Star Commuter Rail.
So, Madam Chair?
Yes.
That's just because there apparently is anticipated a delay in the full funding grant agreement, and the feds have a procedure when a full funding grant agreement is pending and the state wants to spend some money. They issue a letter of no prejudice that says you can go ahead and spend this money and we won't penalize you. We won't treat you badly for that. And they also have another thing called a pre-award authority. So you can get either a pre-award authority, a letter of no prejudice, or have a full funding grant agreement. And in either case, the state can go ahead and spend this money.
Nearing the end.
Yep, near the end. On R-53, the redevelopment account, both the House and the Senate make the same change for the Campbell Soup Factory redevelopment. On the Lewis and Clark, this is the same except that the Senate is reducing the dollar amount for the appropriation for Lewis and Clark from the 2006 bonding bill. R-54, the House has the report on East Phillips Cultural and Community Center, and it's directing the Metropolitan Council to report back to the committees on how that's coming along. The Public Facilities Authority funding language, that's identical, and that is something that relates to litigation over discharge into impaired waters, and review was granted by the state Supreme Court, and it hasn't been decided yet. So that's why this language was added here. Again, as the revisor instruction relates to the Northwest Airlines Duluth maintenance base reuse, and so does the repealer, and the effective date. And the rest of the side-by-side is Senate.
And that is probably, we have great similarity. This particular piece is not in the House bill, and Mr. Watson, maybe just a brief discussion. I think we all know what it is.
Madam Chair, to recap what you already know, this would
authorize a
total bonding amount shown on page R59 of $233.6 million for the University of Minnesota to construct biomedical sciences research facilities. You would put together proposals for how they wanted to spend that money on projects, and the projects would be metered out over a number of years, as shown on page R58, 16.7% by 2010, 41.6% by 2012, and so forth. The proposals would be presented to a group of legislators who would make a recommendation to the full legislature, and if the full legislature approved those grant proposals, then they would go forward. Or if the legislature had not enacted legislation to modify or reject the recommendation by March 15th of the odd-numbered year, that would be considered to be approval, and the projects could go forward.
Would you cite those lines, please?
Yes.
That you just referenced.
That's on page R58, and it's on lines 36.9 to 36.17.
And that, as I understand it, was an amendment offered in committee. That wasn't part of the original facilities authority, and the impact of that, I was a bit confused about, because I thought the university argued that what they wanted was to be able to recruit over the long haul and to be assured of having that authority. But when we added that language, it does seem as though it would limit their ability to recruit out into the future, because we put a little hook in there that says maybe not.
Madam Chair, I recall the university did not object to that.
They did not object. That was my understanding. But
even without that language, the legislature could intervene in it, but it is laying out legislative intent for the future. And their argument was that it would help with recruitment. Of course, everybody's after the best that there is out there, and this would help in that matter. I don't know if you wants to make any further comments.
Now, Madam Chair, I mentioned that it was reviewed by a group of legislators. I should have pointed to the language on the bottom of page R55, which creates the Biomedical Science Research Facilities Authority. There is one public member appointed by the governor who would serve as the chair, and then there are the chairs of the Senate and House committees with jurisdiction over capital improvements, and then two members of the Senate and two members of the House of Representatives appointed by the subcommittee on committees and the speaker.
So that is the side-by-side of both numbers and language. And so we're open to questions. If there are any areas of confusion that members have, or an area where you, in a future meeting, might want additional...
And this could be to Mr. Watson. The language on the University of Minnesota that you've inserted into the bill, would this be on top of the university's regular bonding request, or would we subtract what they're getting in this proposal from their regular bonding request? In essence, I'm asking, do they get then two bonding requests? This one moves forward with a small group of legislators okaying it, and then they get their other bonding request when the entire legislature votes for it.
Mr. Watson.
Madam Chair, Representative Pawlowski, I think that's up to you. I think the university has said that they would prefer that this be in addition to their regular bonding request because they need this additional money in order to carry out their bioscience medical program. And that's why the timing of it is put into the odd-numbered year. These requests would be coming in January of the odd-numbered year so that they could be considered and taken care of apart from the big bonding bill and the even-numbered year.
Madam Chair.
Paul,
Madam Chair, then Mr. Watson, this does count against our 3%, does it not?
Mr. Watson.
Madam Chair, Representative Pawlowski, yes, it does.
Madam Chair, Mr. Watson, then at some point, could the U put us in jeopardy of exercising our 3% with this small band of legislators giving the okay?
Madam Chair, Representative Pawlowski, if you take a look again on page R58 with that schedule of spending from 2010 to 2016, that sets forth how much of that they can spend. And the 3% is counted not so much on the bond authorization, the $233.6 million, as on the cash flow. That is, as the bonds are actually sold to meet the cash flow needs, that's when we need debt service from the general fund to pay for those bonds. So, yes, the debt service needed for these bonds is counted right along with the debt service needed for everything else. But the U is limited to this schedule so that we would know once we pass this bill how much of that 3% was being taken up by the U for each of these four biennials.
Mr. Watson, I'm aware of that. But it still counts against our debt service.
Yes.
So in essence, this is counting against our debt service. Then the U comes before us again for another bonding proposal that counts against our debt service, and then we go to everybody else. You don't need to answer that. That's just a statement.
Well, you know, the U is a lot different than Minsky in that.
I'm just going for clarification.
Senator Lang's
kind of shooting at this guy.
Senator,
he had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
This is the guy. So lay off of this guy.
I think Senator Lang said first, and then.
Well, the U
really has.
But you don't say anything.
It is very separate, the research from the student instruction.
That I think, I guess I don't have a problem going with this based upon the result of our actions, putting them out on the cutting edge of medical research. I think that's extremely important. But, of course, the other part of the university is the student instruction, which would compare more with the Minsky program.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Lang, I don't mind them being on the cutting edge. What I mind is when they cut into everybody else.
Well, I don't think we have been okaying there. A year ago, we okayed a fairly substantial amount of money for their research.
You can say, well, they were cutting everybody else there if you want to, but I don't think that's the case.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Lang, I think if you're going to do it fairly for everyone and not have one group have an off-year amount that's okayed by a handful of legislators. I'm just raising a concern.
Yeah, I think there are some people said, well,
isn't another group like Minsky or something going to come along with the same kind of proposal? And I don't think, as far as the timing is concerned, I don't think anything else would rise to the same level of importance as this would. That's my opinion.
Because medical research is something that those that get there first are the ones that really reap the benefits. I was talking to former Senator Bob Curlin, and I asked him one time, I said, do you see anything happening in the future that would really get Minnesota's economy to take off? And he said, yes, medical research. The state of Minnesota is out there on the cutting edge, ready to make major breakthroughs. And he said he thinks that that is what could really spur Minnesota's economy in the future. So I think to be timid on that end of it could make the difference between Minnesota being out there in the lead and then following.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator, I don't want to be timid. I would just like to expand it for everyone.
Well, I don't know. I don't think every who else is into medical research other than maybe the Mayo.
Senator Lang, this is the point we want to discuss.
Either to this point or any other members.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question about some of the larger differences between the two bills. No, Senate File 962 was mentioned in regards to Northwest Airlines. I'm wondering, will that segment be pulled out of this bonding bill, or how will that proceed?
I don't know that it appears anywhere else. I don't think, my understanding is it didn't move in the Senate. Representative Murphy brought that issue to us, and we included the entire amount, but as nearly as I know, that doesn't appear anywhere else, Duluth.
I think Senator Solon had the bill in the Rules Committee,
oh,
I believe, and I think it did move to the floor.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Watson.
I think it is a live bill, and I think it's now sitting in the Finance Committee.
Okay. Finance.
Yeah. So that that piece of, I mean, more policy, that's following two different tracks.
Well, just to follow up then, Madam Chair, I mean, at what point do we have the discussion? Does it stay within our purview here, or is it moving someplace else?
Well, we can have the discussion here, or we may get a determination from leadership. I know when we put our spreadsheet together, we did feed in a couple of numbers that are in the one-time bill, just because we wanted members here to know that there were dollars in the Senate bill on the same issue. But I think that issue has not resolved yet.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Senator Cohen.
The chief principal fiscal analysts for each body were to get together and look at the jurisdictional issues. This is one of them. There are a variety of them throughout the conference committees, so we can then try to figure out what goes where. And I think we're going to represent Carlson meet tomorrow, I think, and continue that discussion. So hopefully we'll have that list tomorrow.
Further questions or something?
I'm just wondering, a related issue then with renovation of the Capitol complex.
Doesn't really appear in either of our bills. Is that right?
It doesn't, but I think just based upon discussion around, it's alive somewhere in midair. Our position, I think, in the Senate is a little more aggressive on that one, even though we didn't put it in our bill.
There's a small amount in our one-time bill.
Yeah. A very small amount.
Yeah.
What's the amount?
Principally to remodel the Central Access Office.
Do you know what the amount is?
It's not big. I forget the amount. I apologize.
They've sort of indicated to do things at the speed that they would like to do them. They should have 29 million.
Representing, is that further questions? I should say, members, Representative Murphy chairs the Economic Development Conference Committee, and so because all of the conference committees were called at the same time, she wasn't able to be with us. We hope we can negotiate different times in the future so that doesn't happen again. But
Chair, I'm not able to be over there.
Senator Menson, that's right.
I'm on that one.
Oh, you are.
I chose to come.
Yes.
You came to the more important.
Any further questions, Senator DeSantis?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I may be a lone thinker on this. I don't know, but let me just throw it out. This is an off year. Typically, we think of off years as being emergency bills. I'd like to just speak a little bit to a place that I've never been to, quite frankly, and that's Browns Valley. But I know that Browns Valley has some problems, and I know that I think the Browns Valley bill is pretty well, somewhat deep seated, at least on the Senate side. I'm speaking there without total knowledge, but my question might be this: if Browns Valley were at least one project in this whole bill that we could agree to. Might there, because of the urgency and because of their situation, might there be a way in which we could move that out early? You don't have to answer that today. Just maybe think about it.
Well, there is this separate bill that we could do that with. That I guess I put in a hearing for finance, but so far I've heard nothing whatsoever. But I expect it.
Well, Madam Chair, if there was some desire to do that, yeah, we've got the bill, and we can always schedule it for a hearing.
We have it in finance on the House side, and it was just introduced last week. Yeah. So that would be a possibility.
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that they're out of money. They have great needs. They're trying to recover as a community. And, again, if this is truly an emergency bonding year and if we think favorably towards their needs, why, to the extent we can move that early, I think would help them a lot.
I think that smaller amount has a real timing factor in it. Some of the other may not be quite so crucial and could follow in this bill.
One of the issues that came up on the House floor on the discussion of this bill had to do with disaster relief, and that is that we actually have flood hazard mitigation grants built right in, but that we haven't been able to respond perhaps in the same way to tornadoes. And I think there are two places in the state right now that have some challenges on that issue. What's been the history on that? There, with tornadoes, we have more often responded just to a particular disaster as opposed to acknowledging that there's a more generic disaster relief.
Well, I think we've come up with money for infrastructure, but I would say one difference is that almost everybody has wind insurance, which a tornado may respond to the tornado damage. Not very many have flood insurance. And, you know, the thing in Browns Valley was that city has flooded before, and they bought out several houses on the one side. What happened was the way the ice jam occurred in the river, a part of the city that had never flooded before flooded. In fact, there was an elevator, a grain elevator there that had never flooded. So they, even though they had some pretty bad floods, and so they never had insurance for floods. And so it was just kind of a quirk of the way it happened that most of them did not have flood insurance. But I would say the difference between a tornado and a flood is that almost everybody has wind insurance. And that'll cover the personal loss. Where with flood insurance, they probably aren't very active.
And for cities that might have infrastructure damaged?
Well, that we usually have that come out of the of that big long list of, I guess you call it, flood mitigation. And part of our language puts Browns Valley into that. And of the two last bonding bills, one was for $27 million, one for $25 million. I think there's something like $5.5 million left or something like that. And that, by putting them in there, that they would be able to get that infrastructure, public infrastructure reimbursement.
Other questions? We can put something on a future agenda if you know that there's some information you're seeking, but for today, at any rate, we're getting most questions answered. For members of the audience, should you, I think we've had sufficient hard copies today, but should anyone else in the community want to access the side-by-sides, you can do that by going to www.house.mn, and there's a different route for both the side-by-side and the spreadsheet, and it's a little more complicated, so we would be happy to give that further direction if you need that, should you want to access it for others in the community.
Senator Langston. Just to give you a little idea of what our decision here is, the House had $120 million worth of the one-time money, and we had $137. The cumulative total, however, is about $189. So anything below $189, we have to be pulling money out of both bills. So it isn't quite as simple. With a lot of bills, you figure, well, cut the difference between $137 and $120, and then you've got a deal. But it doesn't work that way here. So in talking with leadership, we have been explaining that to them, that there's a certain level that I don't want to go below, because then we'd be taking out a lot more than I would. We can always move a little. But
If there are,
Representative. Thank you, Madam Chair. And actually, to Chair Langseth, I'm just wondering now next steps. You know, Commissioner Hansen had offered to be here if the timing would have worked out. I'm wondering perhaps at the second meeting or the third meeting what the schedule looks like.
Senator
Well, I would ask him to come. And now whether we call it tomorrow or whenever, I'm not sure. One thing, we could go full speed ahead if we can get a target. And we're not quite there yet. I think the leadership in both houses each had a figure which wasn't that far apart. And I think maybe, I would hope within the next day or so we could know what it is to go for. And then I think the higher it is, the easier it'll be, obviously. But
And frankly, because there are so many similarities, there's not a huge amount of work we have to do until we get that target. And so I suspect there's a possibility we wouldn't be meeting in the next few days.
Yeah, we could meet and just hear the Commissioner Hansen, and then if there's anything else come up, but it'll be to the call of the chair, and I'll wait and see whether we got something substantial, or maybe we'll just hear Tom Hansen. That probably would be acceptable too, just to get together and hear.